Rabbi Yossi Cohen.
Morning, my Rabbi Yisai. Leil HaSeder, Pasuk says in Shmois, Kapitel Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. Leil Shimurim Hu LaShem, Lo Yitziyom Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hu HaLailo HaZeh LaShem, Shimurim Lechol B'nei Yisrael L'Doi Roysom. The double lashon Shimurim, Shimurim Hu LaShem, LaShem Shimurim. So Rashi, for not, Rashi says, what's the pshat in the pasuk? Leil Shimurim. Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomer u'metzapeloi. Like v'ovi shomar es hadavar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting l'kayim to fulfill havtachosoi, his promise, l'yitzio me'eretz Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for the night, for this great night to come about. Hu halayla hazeh l'Hashem Shimurim. Says Rashi, that's the night HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael d'roisom, meshumor ubo min ha-mazikin. It's a night which is guarded from mazikin. It's a special night of Yeshua's, as it says, v'lo yiten ha-mashchis lavoi. So Rashi Dava translates the second Shimurim also with the Loshon meshumor, not waiting but guarded. It's a night of special guarding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know. The Ramban, however, gives a different translation. And this sheds new light on what Leil HaSeder is all about. The Rabban says, similarly in the first part of the Pasuk, Leil Shimurim Hu LaShem, yes, that means Shimurim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting in order to bring about this night of Golas Mitzrayim. That's what the first part of Shimurim means. Then it says, Shimurim Hu Alaylo Azeh LaShem, Shimurim Shimurim L'Chol Yisrael L'Doi Roysom. Says Rashi, says Rabban, this night, what does it mean, Lashem Shimurim? It means it's Mekudosh Lishmoy. Now we're talking from Klal Yisrael's perspective. It's Shimurim. Could Klal Yisrael take this night and guard it and keep it and sanctify it on a Mekadosh Lishmoy? It's Mekudosh. It's Lail Kodosh. Like Yom HaKippurim is Yom HaKodosh. This is the Lail of Kedusha. Shmurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael means sheyishmeru oisoi. They will keep it, like Shmira Shabbos. La'avoid boi lefonov, b'chilas ha-pesach, u'schiras ha-nisim, korban pesach, tzipu yitzis mitraim, lo says halel v'odoy l'shmoi. As it says, v'shomarto es ha-chuka ha-zois, like it says earlier, keep. Shomar es chodesh ha-obim, keep it. How? With the keem of the mitzvahs. And that's what it means. Alayla azah Hashem, Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael d'oraisim. Tonight, with Klal Yisrael, on the Kaddish it, they sanctify it with the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. It's Mitzideinu, it's us. First of all, the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaShem, it's night HaKadosh Baruch Hu waiting for. What's our reaction? What do we do from our side? We Kaddish it. We keep the Mitzvahs in a way. It's a very special Heilige Nacht, as we'll see. So let's have a look at our Goda. V'afilu kulonu chachomim, kulonu nevoinim, kulonu zkenim, the question is obvious. Even if we're very wise, very clever, very understanding, even so we have the mitzvah. I can understand if we'd say, Hafilu, simple people, whatever it is, you can say, they also have the mitzvah l'sabe b'tzias Mitzrayim. Obviously the chachamim, the wise ones, the kevah ones, who knows their obligations, they obviously have the chiyuv. What's the hafilu? The Mashgiach B'chaskel said, the answer is poshet. The answer is, we're saying, hafilu kolanu chachamim, wise people, nuvoinim, deep thinkers, philosophers, goes to the chachamim, people who know Torah Sanista, you might have thought, how should they spend the night of Leila Seder? No, according to their potential and their level, they can be saying deep thoughts and lofty ideas and beautiful rayonis about Mamish, but Torah Sanista and everything. That's how they would elevate themselves. So we say, no, they're capable of much more. Mitzvah oleinu lesaper. The mitzvah is straightforward, simple yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why the Gedolei HaDor said in all generations, simple to tell over the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the mitzvah is. It's not time. Even therefore we say, for people who could be capable of much, much higher than Madregas, no. The mitzvah is simply, as it says in the Pasuk, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the beginning of Boy, L'man tesaper ba'ozne vincha v'en bincha eis asher es halalti v'mitzrayim. That what I did to Mitzrayim, v'datam ken yashem. That will bring to simple, plain, Emunah, which we mechazek, it brings out the clarity of Emunah, and that's what we need to do. That's all the mitzvah is. That's what we're saying, afilu kolanu chacham, because we want there to be an mamish moment to bring it to life. The only way you can bring something to life is describing it in the clearest detail, in the best language, in the simplest fashion. That's what brings something to life. That's what is mechazek the Emunah. It's the greatest thing. And that's how it continues. Ma'aseh Rebbe Elazar, all these great Tanoim, who no doubt they were capable of discussing Maisim Merkava by the highest things. Nafa became, well, them Saprim B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kaloise Alayla. They were simply Mesape B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Avada, without a doubt, that Sippur was Meir Kesapirim, like diamonds, like gems, their Sippur. And that's why it's called Sippur, because that is the greatness of the mitzvah. The greatness of the mitzvah is simply the Sippur B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's our tachlis, and that's what we have to prepare ourselves for. And since the mitzvah is Sippur, we can expand it, we can extend it further. Thank you very much. The Sippur doesn't, Avada has to start with the Sippur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But any Sippur, any story of the type, which brings to Emunah, and v'chazik Emunah, one can tell, and one should. Because that's how, by making a variety, and broadening the things, I'm talking about right through history, besides with actually Yetzias Mitzrayim, anywhere throughout the history of Kal Yisrael, something which brings out the clarity of Emunah, that's what we should do. You know, there are two types of stories on both sides. There are stories that everybody knows. I've heard it already. And then there are stories which, adarabah, every time you hear it, it's a chizuk. And the biggest proof is Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Well, you're going to tell me again the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Avada, because pshat is, every time you go over it again, that is a basis in the story of Chazik, the Emunah. So, we hear a story which is mechazek the Emunah, and every time you hear it, and you think about it, you get a chizuk nachamah from it, and that's the whole tachlis of it. And I want to show you one such story which gave me a great chizuk, and I think it's a story which one has to tell over, let's see if you see it's Mishraim. B'leil HaSeidah, Pasha to be mechazek the Emunah, mechazek the Mishpacha, to show children what it means, to establish my mitzvahs, and what the value of a mitzvah is. And the story was told by Rabbi Yitzchok Shlomo Unger, Zechon Livracha, the Rav of Chuk Chasim Sofer and Bnei Brak Zechon Livracha. He told this over to Bianca Galinsky, this unbelievable story. He's no longer alive, this Rav Unger. One day a Yid came to him, and this Yid had been through the war, and the Yid said to him, I want to tell you something, I want to tell you a story. He was rather shaken. He said, I have to tell you this. What's the story? So 30 years ago, when I was in Auschwitz, you know, it was like that. He was a Hungarian Yid. Hungarians were taken right at the end of the war in 1944. Mom was just before the end of the war. And the Nazis, Maximo, managed to exterminate a million of them. And he was there. His wife was taken away. His children were taken away. He was given the gift of life. And he had his bunk, or rather a board, whatever you can call it, on which he lay squashed together with 12 other inmates. And he had his bowl of watery soup and his crust of bread. And he managed to survive, if you can call it survival. And next to him, his mate on the bunk, was a younger man, a Hasidish younger man, who was a Menonchel Kadoshim, came from very, very choshva rebbes, and he was taka an elevated neshama, a hoichin neshama. And this Yugaman Kaseida, whenever he had the time, he used to say at Shtikl Torah, it was mechazikim non-stop, muna and betochen, and always imre sadikim, sipur sadikim. That's what kept him going, the words of these of this, his mate. They were both very depressed, both very weak, but they gave each other chizuk. One day, his mate from the bank says to him, you know something, he says, with all excitement, I've worked out the luach, and Pesach is coming. The Yom Tov of Pesach is coming. Morrow we've got enough of. No shortage of morrow. What's the time with Achzayis Matzah? What's going to be with Achzayis Matzah? So he said to him, Achzayis Matzah? Are you mad thinking about Achzayis Matzah and this matzah? We have to have Achzayis Matzah. What are we going to do? And he kept on pushing the day, and Pesach is coming, Pesach is coming. What are we going to do about Achzayis Matzah? So, Kadosh Baruch Hu helped. The Allies were bombing the camps, and the bomb fell on the storehouse, and there was a sacks of wheat split open. And there was wheat lying around the area. Obviously, anybody caught with it, achas dosei lahomis. But he said, see what you can do. So he managed to scrounge together a few grains of wheat, enough, a handful of wheat. And he took it, when they were out working in the field, found two stones, ground it between a few stones, took it, mixed it with a bit of water, and he found a metal plate, which he heated up with fire, and on this metal plate, and it was red hot, he baked a small matzah. And this small matzah was thick, and he managed to get a knife or something, a nail, and he made the holes in it, and it was a matzah, it was a kosher matzah. A matzah, because of its thickness, the size of a palm of a person's hand, but it was two kazesim. It was two kazesim of matzah. And now, the test was, how are they going to manage to smuggle this into the camp? So what do they have? They just had the threadbare thing which they wore, the uniform, the striped uniform. So he puts it between the uniform and his arm, put the matzah there, and he wanted to smuggle it into the camp like that. So he got past the first gate, the main gate, the Auschwitz gate, and then he wanted to get into the block. And the guard, the Nazi guard standing at the block, saw that his hand movement was a bit odd. He said, what have you got there? So he tried to hide it. So he pulled his arm away, and the matzah fell to the ground. And the Nazi roared at him. First of all, he picked up his huge boot and stamped on it until it was absolute dust. And then he picked his stick, and he beat him, and he beat him, till he fell on the ground. He recovered consciousness a bit later. He looked around. The Nazi had gone to find another korban, and he saw the ground dust there of the matzah. So he picked together as much as he could of these crumbs of matzah, took it in his hand, and he staggered back into the barracks. He fell down there. And once again, he fainted. And his chavah there revived him with a bit of water. And as soon as he was revived, he opened his palm and said, look what I've got. These few crumbs of matzah mixed with dirt. But unfortunately, it wasn't any more two kazaisim. There was only enough for one kazais. One kazais. So his chavah said to him, please let me have this kazais matzah. Please, he begged him, this benon shel kadoshim, he begged him, please let me have the kazais matzah. I've never gone through a seder without kazais matzah. He says, what do you mean? You should have it? I should have it. I risked my life to get it. I took patch to get it. Look, I did what I did. I made it and had it. Why should you have it? He said, yeah, please, I'll do everything. I'll do anything for you. I'll give you my olam haba. I'll read that God, I know it by heart, I know the whole Agudah by heart, I know the whole Shir Hashirim by heart, I'll say the whole thing, let me have the Kzayis Matzah. And so backwards and forwards, he said, what do you mean, but I made it, yeah, but let me have it. In the end, he was so passionate about it, this Chava, that he said, okay, you can have it, but on one condition, you can have the Matzah, but I'm going to have the Schar of this Mitzvah. I want to have the Schar of this Mitzvah. Similar to the story with the Vilna Gaon, with the Dalai Lama. You can have the Matzah, which I bake with Mesiris Nefesh, but I must have, yes, fine, Besedia, you can have. She said, as long as I can have matzah, you can have the schar. Said this friend of his, this Benon Shel Kadoshim, you can have it. Okay. So, they came together on the night that he had designated, this was the night of Pesach, Leil Tesvav, and they sat down there, and with four cups of tears, they said together, he said, I got the word for word, no siddur, nothing that I got. They said, I got the form, till the end of Chagadio, he said, the whole land got the word for word. And he said the halal, and he said the brachos, and he said everything. And then he, the friend, ate the k'zayis matzah. He ate the k'zayis matzah. Maybe he said the schar is mine. Yes, he ate the k'zayis matzah. And that's how they said the shana ababi Yerushalayim, shata avdei, the shana ababi nechayrin. And that's how the seder ended. The next morning, of course, Yom Tov went out to work. They didn't have a choice. And his chava, this heilige young man, whilst he was working, he was davening, and he was saying shus shpachos, and he said, okay, besatzul b'sezechal. Kept quiet, he did it quietly, Nancy shouldn't see him, in the damash manesra. And so on, he was building up the excitement of davening, and he came to the bracha of Halel, and he couldn't contain himself. And he called out, oh, get the bracha of Halel, he called out with a loud voice. And on the spot, the Nazi turned to him and shot him on the spot. What do you think you're doing here? What do you think you are? That was that. And that was the end of him. He was killed on the spot. So he continued, this youth continued speaking to Yitzchak Shlomo Ungar, and I survived. I survived the war. And slowly, slowly, I put the pieces together. And I came back, and I came to Eretz Yisrael. And I built myself a new life. This is 30 years ago. The last night, I had a dream. And this youth came to me in a dream. This fellow, this bunkmate of mine, this Manonshal Kadoshim, came to me in a dream. His face was shining. He was dressed in white, and his face was shining. And he said to me, Do you remember that night of Leila Pesach when we had that Seder together and you gave me the matzah? I said, of course I remember that I gave you the matzah. Of course I remember. She said, yeah, do you remember that you asked that you should have the schar for yourself? I said, yes, of course I remember. But I'll come to ask you, please let me have the schar for the mitzvah. What? You've come to ask me what? I've come to ask you, let me have the schar of the mitzvah. He says, what do you mean? Is that yashrus? Chutzpah to ask. I risked my life. And if I made the mitzvah and I got all the patch, and even so I let you have the matzah on the condition that I should have the schar, and now you're asking me for the schar? Is that right? No. Can't agree. No, this is my mitzvah. I was moish nefesh for. If I was moish nefesh for this mitzvah, then I deserve to have the schar. I gave you the mitzvah. I was mevatar to you at the time. Isn't that enough? Now you want the schar as well? No. So he said, a cloud of pain covered the face, this once shining face, and he vanished from my dream. And I came to Rav Ungar, and he said to Rav Ungar, was I right or not? That's the shaila I came to ask him. Was I right in saying that I should have the schar or not? Now what would you say, Rabbi Yisai? That was the question they asked him. Rav Ungar said to him, I can't give you the answer. For this you need a great Rebbe to give you the answer. This is not a simple halacha, the kashayla, for which he was a Rav. He said, go to the Machnofka Rebbe, the Alta Machnofka Rebbe, ask him the shayla. Ask him what you should do, whether you did right or not. So, that's what he did. He made an appointment to see the Machnofka Rebbe. And he came into him. The evening was in Kabbalah late at night. He couldn't have impatient the whole day waiting to ask this Shaila. The whole day was shaken by this Shaila, by his response. Was he right? Was he not right? Should he have given away the schar? Should he not have given away the schar? And he came to him. And he said, told the Rebbe the story. And Rav Ungar said to him, come back to me afterwards when you got the answer. I want to hear the answer that the Rebbe said. So he went to the Rebbe. The Rebbe listened very carefully to everything he said. And the Rebbe said to him, Al pi yashrus, you should be Mavata. Al pi yashrus, you should give him the schar. He said, what? He stood up and said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Al pi yashrus? Maybe you could tell me the finisher or something. But Al pi yashrus should be the one to give him the schar. After all, I was most nervous for this mitzvah, and I gave him the mitzvah. And am I not entitled to have the schar of this great mitzvah? And you're telling me Al pi yashrus, the correct thing to do, correct, straight thing to do, is to give him the schar? I don't understand. Said the Rebbe to him as follows. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, to these Muridika words, which are so relevant to us. Said the Rebbe, you have to understand, your chava was niftar. Whatever mitzvahs he has, he has. He was niftar at a young age. He has no more opportunity from the moment that he was killed to do more mitzvahs. He's lost that opportunity. Although he did many mitzvahs in his life, and he took them all with him, but the fact is, he's no longer alive. At the end of a short life, everything he had, he took with him. That's it. He doesn't have the opportunity to do one more single mitzvah in his life. You're alive. You're alive. You can put on tefillin. You can do matzitzes. You can do mitzvahs. You can learn Torah. Every single word of Torah is an abundance of mitzvahs. You can do chesed. You can do everything, some mitzvahs. And you have children who will continue. He didn't have children ever. Whoever mitzvah they do is ascribed to yours, Chusim. So you are living a life full of so much potential possibility to mitzvahs. Isn't it right that this poor soul who doesn't have the schus, chance of one more mitzvah, give him the schus of that one mitzvah? That's the yashrus. That's why you should do it. You should give him the schus of this mitzvah. So he says, okay, if the Rebbe said I should be mavata, I should give him, then I'll do that. Then I'll give it to him. She said, no. That's not good enough. You can't do it sort of grudgingly. You've got to do it b'lev sholem. You've got to really feel completely and utterly that you're giving over. So what should I do, Rebbe? It's difficult for me. So you know what you should do? He said like this. He took out a bunch of keys and said, take these keys. Wait at night. Go to my Beis Medrash when no one's there. Lock the door. Open Aron Kodesh. Put your head inside Aron Kodesh. And tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the whole history of this story. Speak out your heart and your feelings. Everything that you lived through with this man. Tell over the whole story. And then after you've lived through it again, then say, I'm now ready to give over the schar of this mitzvah back again to this yid. And that's what I did. I did that late at night. And no one was around. I went in there and I relived the whole thing with many tears and much pain. I went through it again. The whole story, bit by bit. Mamish, I brought it to life again. And after that, when I'd finished, I felt so pure. I felt as if a great stone had lifted from my heart. And I said, yes, this chus of this mitzvah, I'm now giving wholeheartedly, I'm giving over to this yid who died in HaKiddush Hashem. And then I came back. And I came into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, it's wonderful that you've done. But let's think, he said, let's think now about ourselves, he said. Look how much opportunity we have to do mitzvahs. We have such an abundance of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, mamish, like Rabbi Chana Masim used to say, the mitzvahs lying all over the street, wherever we turn, we can learn more Torah, we can do another chesed, we can give a smile to another yid and make him happy, we can say a good vart. We do mitzvahs all over. On Leila Seder, when the Gaon made the cheshbon, there are 64 mitzvahs, min HaTorah, min HaRabbanan, including the brochas. 64 mitzvahs a person is b'kayim. Look how rich we are from a Leila Seder coming now in front of us. So a person has so much opportunity to do mitzvahs. Do we realize the wealth that we have, how rich we are that we can do these mitzvahs? And he said, think for a second, said the Rebbe. This yid, this younger man, no doubt about it, he was brought up with Kedusha of the Torah. His whole life he spent doing mitzvahs. And he had a real abundance of mitzvahs. Not only that, he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. He was Moshe Nefesh. Which Chazal say, the highest madrigas are those who are killed in Kiddush Hashem. The highest madrigas. There's nothing higher than that. The Divrei Chaim, one of the children of Divrei Chaim, I forget which one, who was killed in the war. He told over before he was killed. Night before he was taken away, his father, Divrei Chaim, came to him in a dream. And he told him, if you want, I can tell you how you can escape. I have an escape route for you. And you'll manage to be saved, and you'll carry on living. So he said, but if you live 1,000 years, according to the level of the Divrei Chaim of himself, you won't have the Chelik Gan Eden, you won't reach the heights that you'll reach for a person if he's killed on HaKadosh Hashem. And therefore choose. And this yid, which one of the sons it was, he went on HaKadosh Hashem. He had two sons, it was Kiddush Divrei Chaim, he went on HaKadosh Hashem. So we're talking about Neshama, who was his unbelievable, the heights of the Schar in Gan Eden that have the Scarves to the Shechina HaKadosh. And even so, said the Machlof Kareba, and even so, he's thirsting for the Schar of one mitzvah. Can you imagine what that means? As if he hasn't got enough up there. No, he's missing this one mitzvah in his life. Achilles Matzah, they didn't get schar for. And for that, it was worthwhile for him to leave his whole lofty Gan Eden and come down and beg his friend, please give me the schar.
How do you know, sorry, that this one who was mevatel, that the schar he gets for that is not more than the schar for...
Maybe, we don't know. Exactly. But we know this fact that he didn't... But the fact is, he had been promised the schar for this mitzvah, now it's being taken away. So that, as far as that's concerned, it was something which that neshama wanted so much. He wanted it so much. Therefore, we see from that the gewaldige greatness of doing a mitzvah. But Rabbi Yisai, we do a mitzvah, we think to ourselves, yeah, that's very nice. We're talking about mitzvahs of Mitzvahs Nefesh, wonderful, great, fantastic mitzvahs. What are our mitzvahs worth? We tend to play down the value and the use of our mitzvahs, the worth of them. We have to know. The Rosh comes along in our God and he says, Mo ha'avoida azos lochem. famous question of the Rosh Hashanah, we compare it to the question of the Chacham. One of the explanations is, Shlomo Levenstein Shlita explains the question, Mo Avodah Zeis Lachem. He's asking like this, saying, Mo Avodah Zeis Lachem, the focus is in the Lachem. He says, I know you Frommers, you Haredim, of course you sit and learn the whole day, and you do your mitzvahs, and you buy your talis, and you buy tzitzis, and you buy tefillin, and do all those mitzvahs. Fine, you know, keep them for yourself. When it comes to the eating side of things, when it comes to the gastronomic experience, then leave that to me. You know, I know where was exactly the best steak and the best restaurants. Leave that to me. And suddenly, you're coming along, and you're taking this korban Pesach, I'm making the best gedi, the tler, the softest, most luscious meat, and you've got to roast it, and it's got to be, and you've got to eat it, mamish, the way it should be, the mitzvah is done. Hey, what's all this about now? Suddenly you're getting involved in this, my side of the things. Lochem, why are you doing this? This is not for you. You should be worrying about doing all the ruchnis. You know, you keep the ruchnis. You're the frumis. You keep that side of things. Why are you doing this mitzvah with this achila? And mitzvah is achila, the avodah, lochem, and the achila. So we say to him, no, you're making a mistake, Mr. Rosha. You're making a mistake. There's no question about it. Of course, we have mitzvahs. Well, mitzvahs, which we have to enjoy. Mitzvahs of achila. And when we eat l'shem shemayim, then we're doing a mitzvah. And that is the greatest mitzvah. Proof, Klal Yisrael redeemed from Mitzrayim in the schus of mitzvahs, achilas korban Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, va'at eirah ve'eriah, you don't have any mitzvahs. And therefore, I've got to give you something. What did he give them? He gave them the mitzvah milah, the mitzvah achilas korban Pesach. So it was the mitzvah of Pesach through which we were zoich to be redeemed now, tonight. Yeah, we're talking about Gulas Mitzrayim. It was the mitzvah achilas korban Pesach. So you think when it comes to achila, we have to be completely removed from that type of thing? No, not at all. Klal Yisrael have mitzvahs which involve physical activity and enjoyment, and that's a mitzvah, and it's a great mitzvah. Fine, that's the answer of the Rosh. The problem is that we talk about the fact that Klal Yisrael were redeemed from Mitzrayim, b'schus mitzvahs achilas korban Pesach. I mean, Golas Mitzrayim is quite a tall order, you know. We earned Golas Mitzrayim, the whole Klal Yisrael, mitzvah achilas korban Pesach. Let's analyze this mitzvah achilas korban Pesach a bit. What exactly happened here with mitzvah achilas korban Pesach? Well, Chazal tell us. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, Klal Yisrael, we have to eat the Korban Pesach. So he said, no, we don't feel like it. And you have to do Mila. No, it's not on. Mila? No, we don't want to do it. So what happened? Says the Medrash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Ruach from Gan Eden. Given she'osu Moshe sa Pesach, gozar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledalud ruchas ha'olam, v'noishvos b'Gan Eden. They blew through Gan Eden. And they brought forth from Gan Eden the most marvelous, wonderful aroma. And they were nidbak, they cleaved to the Pesach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that ruach, that reach went around the whole Klal Yisrael. And they came, please, please, Moshe Rabbeinu, let us taste this wonderful, fantastic Korban Pesach, which the reach is so fantastic, so, something so special, Korban Gan Eden. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, if you haven't had Mila, you can't eat. And there's such a thirst for this Korban Pesach, that they said, right, we're ready to do Mila. Immediately, they let themselves be gemalet, and the Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila got mixed up, and Kadosh Baruch Hu took each one and gave them a kiss, and he punched him, and he says, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. So, it was the schus of this Korban Pesach, but what schus did they have? They were practically forced. They were practically forced to eat the Korban Pesach. Was it willingly? So you're telling us the whole Golas Mitzrayim happened because they were moisa nefesh or Korban Pesach, in inverted commas, if they were really, they were practically forced. They were schlepped to eat the Korban Pesach by the Reach Gan Eden. Baruch Hu made the whole spiel in order to get them. So do they deserve even so Golas Mitzrayim for that? This mitzvah? So Yanke Galinsky Zechayin Levracha explained this with the following story. He said once he was sitting by of Chrysler Zechayin Levracha. Came to visit him and answered, obviously, a fundraising mission. And Kaiser said to him, on this chair that you're sitting now, I had yesterday a yid. There was a din Torah. And the din Torah was between two people. One was a diamond merchant, and one was a shatchan, who shatchan came a job, a deal. And the machlokes between them was, one of them said, the Toivea said he'd been promised 0.6%, and he'd been promised, and he said, no, I only promised you 0.4%. So the difference was 0.2%. That's what they were arguing about. She looked at him, what? They wasted your time arguing about 0.2%? That's what they were arguing about? 0.2%? They don't have got time for such, you know, small little lies, 0.2%. So he said, if your uncle the Vashdei says you don't understand. We're talking here about a deal which was $150 million. That was the deal. $150 million, right? So Rabbi Yisrael, make the cheshbon. $150 million, what's a tenth of a percent? No. Tenth of a percent? Calculators? No. Tenth of a percent. $150,000, right? Tenth of a percent, right? $150,000. So he was Tevea $900,000. He was saying, no, you've only got $600,000. So we're talking about a din Torah of $300,000. No. He said, you understand? So he said, that's so Rav Yankel, now I understood. We think, you know, you do a mitzvah, as Chazal say, right? So we ask ourselves, you can't compare? What, 100 to 101? I mean, come on, you can't compare. And the Gemara says, called Lo Avodoi. That's called, he hasn't done Avodah Hashem, he only did 100 and 101. The answer is, we don't understand. We view it in our simple gashmistic mind. We think, what's 100 and 101, one more? The distance is so vast. It's like from 600,000 to 900,000. Because in Ruchin, it's huge, the differences. Every level is so much, much more. It's phenomenal. So therefore, the same thing, we're talking about a mitzvah. If there's the slightest thing in a mitzvah which is worthwhile, the Avada, Kalad Shalom, might have been pulled to the Korban Pesach. But there was an element, however small, a tenth of a percent, a hundredth of a percent, was there. There was the Shem Shemaim. There was the Kavanah to Mekan, the mitzvah of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. That's huge, that's enormous, fantastic. And that itself of Klal Yisrael is worthwhile to bring about the Gula. Because when it comes to mitzvahs, that's how great it is, the schar of mitzvahs. And the schus to be able to do a mitzvah is so wonderful. However small it is, so don't play down Chas V'Shalom, any mitzvah that you do, think, what's my Achilles Masa word? What do you mean with your Achilles Masa word? It's a mitzvah. And if you try and make it lishma, and you are Mechavan Hashem Kevod mitzvah, then it's even greater and greater and greater. Without Bechlal any Gvul. And even so, even if not, like we see it, that's what we're seeing here from this message of Klal Yisrael earning and being Zohar to Yetzias Mitzrayim, because they're at Korban Pesach. That's what Chazal tell us. In the schus of that, they went out. Either were forced, yes, but there still must have been some small element, however small. It might be a hundredth of a percent, but that's also a huge amount. When you're talking about a mitzvah, which is worth much, much more than $150,000, $150 million. Ein gvul. Nothing in this world. Kol chafetzecha lo yishuv bo. Everything in the world can't compare to the schar of one word of Torah and of a mitzvah. So how can Bechlal can think about it? It doesn't come to question Bechlal. And so another muscle to describe and explain why when it comes to mitzvahs, the slightest thing. You know, you have the Guinness Book of Records. So why? Because when they update it every year. So let's say this fellow did 100 meters. He's the fastest doing 100 meters. He's in 100 meters and whatever it is, 7.5 seconds. Right, I might be wrong. What? 9.5 seconds, right. 9.5 seconds, yeah. Next year, and he's the Guinness Book of Records. Millions of people all around the world open the Guinness Book of Records. He's the man. He broke the record. 9.5 seconds, he did 100 meters, yeah. Next year, somebody comes along, and he does it, not a 9.5, but 9.4, a tiny bit more. And now he's broken the record by what? You can't even say, but by less than a second, whatever it is. And suddenly, the first fellow, completely forgotten about. He doesn't even feature in the book Bechlal anymore. Why? Who's now the man who broke the world record, and he is in the Guinness Book of Records, enshrined for the coming year, so the next person breaks it? See, what happened to the first fellow? What do you mean? Because he did a tiny bit more than me, made him for me, if I guess not. Yeah, it's all over, finished. You're not in the Mandama anymore. No one's going to talk about you. The same thing, we can understand from that, and same with the mitzvah, you do a tiny bit more of a mitzvah, because that bit more renders you worlds above the other one. And therefore, he's the one there, and the lower one is already, that's not called an avodah. That's for the schus of a mitzvah. So it's all about mitzvah, it's all about our schus that we have to do mitzvahs. It comes to Leila Seder, we're so surrounded with mitzvahs, especially, as we said, when we talk about Leil HaSeder, which Sfarim HaKadoshim say is compared to Leil Yom HaKippur. The Maral, the great Maral says that the reason why we wear kittel, so many reasons to give him for a kittel. That's the first thing we do, Leil HaSeder, right? The first thing you do is you put on the kittel, and count down before you make kiddush, you're wearing the kittel. That's the first thing you do. Why kittel? Maral said, because it's like the Kohen Godol by Yom HaKippur. Kohen Godol, big day lovon. He's going lifnai v'lifnim. That's why we wear a kittel. So just think about that. When a person comes to Petel, they come to the Seder. Where are you coming now? You're coming now, mamish, like the Kohen Gadol, every single Yid. And why is it like a Kohen Gadol for Yom HaKippurim? Because Shteitin Zoya HaKadosh, Svarim HaKadosh, will bring it. Habalei LaSeder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvedoi Uva'atzmoi, comes down with his Pamalish Amala to see how Klal Yisrael are doing the Seder. Every night, it says it goes into Gan Eden, and he learns Torah with the Tzadikim. Leila Seder, he doesn't do that. Different itinerary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochim. He comes down to the houses of every Yid and sits in. That's why the Shechina is there. The Shlach HaKadosh Kiyodua says, one should be careful, because it's such a Laila of Kedusha, as he said from the Rabban, Mekudushu Lashem, it's a Laila of Kedusha Lashem, of our mitzvahs. A person should be careful not to speak any Devarim B'Talim. Unfortunately, sometimes it happens, because you gather around with the family, and the children, and the Edomus, and then the things turn into a bit of a social, till you get down to things. It's wrong. But right from the beginning, one has to realize, the Laila of Kedusha, don't, Chas V'Shalom, profane that great elevation of Kedusha that's possible. Because the Shechina is there. If the Shechina is there, then we can understand that you're like a Kohen Gadol, coming lifnai v'lifnim. Because if the Shechina is here, then it's like in the Kotchi Kotchim. That's why you're wearing the kittel. Zed Lepshin, Zechon Levracha, said over that, Reb Shimon Shkop, Zechon Levracha used to say, Reb Shimon Shkop, the great Litvashir Rosh Yeshiva, he was also very makbid, that any talk should be only about the Vertoira, about Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. Why? Because he based it on apostle. So the pasuk says in Parshas Bo, "Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh." They said that only wasn't only that night. "Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh" means a layla hazeh, like we say in Agoda, on this night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvedo v'atzmoy comes, passes through not only eretz Mitzrayim, but every Yiddish shtub HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to. And that's "Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh." So again, the same makor, you have to realize that's what it is, and that's why it's called also Seder. Like you say in the Seore, the Seder Ho Avoida Yerushalayim, the Seder Ho Avoida, it's called Avoida. So, it's a night which is Mekudesh Nashem, like the Ramban says. Shemurin Mechol B'nei Yisrael, the Roi Sami, that's our job, our tachlis, is to Mishamer it, to keep it and guard it properly with the right Kedusha and the right to keep it on the level the way it should be. And then we make sure, and we appreciate the schus that we have to do every mitzvah, 64 mitzvahs, every single thing. And then the children see what it means to us, they see the chashivas of a mitzvah. And you tell them over such a story, and they see what it means, the emes, a schus of being able to do a mitzvah, they'll continue to live their lives up in mitzvahs. They'll pass it on to the next generation, the mitzvah Hashem, and so on to the generation which will be zeicha, the kras, Mashiach, the tkeinu, b'merev yomein, amen.
Shalom Russia. The answer is simple. Actually, I can't remember who said it. I heard it. It says that the happiest shiva, you don't believe, keep it. Avoid it.